Hello and welcome everyone. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo and I'm excited to have you here for our third in the line of a series of six business calls once a month. And this one is all about attracting and enrolling your ideal clients. Attracting and enrolling your ideal client. Talked about doing various things with your blogs and setting up some online things and doing speaking engagements. So I want to go into a little bit more detail about that. So when we talk about attracting clients, we don't want to just attract anyone, right? We want to attract those people who we really want to work with. So we want to be looking in the right places. We don't want to just be popping out in the street and picking anybody that comes along and inviting them to come in and join you, unless that's what you're looking for. But we spent a lot of time in our retreat going over, really narrowing down on who that target audience that you really want to be serving. So when you look at it, if you look at the ideal coaching clients in the middle, where can you find them? Simple as who you talk to on the line at the grocery store, noticing some things. A lot of times they seek you out. They see that you look very expertise at picking out produce because your cart is full of it and they may ask you questions. Be prepared to have a conversation with them. And if it seems like it's something that someone you'd like to work with, you can always say to them, look, I'd love to help you with this. Here's my card. Give me a call. Do you have a card? I can follow up with you. Or I'm going to be doing a class next month and we're going to be teaching exactly what to do with all this produce. Would you like me to follow up with you? So those are great ways to do it, and especially in the produce aisle and especially at the health food store. Social event. There are networking events that you can attend by just in general, your social life, your social circle, but then you can expand your social circle by going on to things like Meetup and various clubs. I know here in Austin, there are fibromyalgia groups that meet. There's a celiac group that meets. There's groups that meet around particular health conditions, and that might be a great way for you to go and hang out, get to meet the organizers, and arrange to do a talk there, which would be a great way to meet people and attract potential clients. Going to meetups. There's a lot of meetups in our area that relate to health and wellness, and those are great things to do. If you're looking for people that are fit and athletic, you can look up the triathlon clubs. You can look up the various and sundry clubs related to particular sports, maybe that you are interested in or that you feel like your ideal clients might be hanging out. So you always want to think about, where would these people be hanging out? Right? There's not a club called the I'm in pain club, but there are clubs that are related to particular types of syndromes like fibromyalgia, like chronic fatigue, like celiac. And those are great ways for you to meet people. You can go there not with the intent necessarily of, like, you know, being a little leech going around handing out your business cards, but more getting to know people and offering good advice. And then offering to do more with people, to follow up with people, or like I said, approaching the club organizers about doing some sort of a talk there. You know, pick a topic, listen really carefully to the people and their conversations, because when you do that, you'll get an idea of what their needs are, what language they're speaking, and you could go ahead and speak to them in their language. In networking groups, right? Those, I haven't done much in the way of networking groups, but networking groups would be like business women's associations, the Kiwanis Club, Rotary Clubs. There's a lot of different networking meetings that you can find out about if that's something you like to do. Like I said, it's not something I feel really great about doing, and I've never had to do it in order to build my business. A lot of people do really well with going to these networking groups. You get a 2-minute little slab of time where you can present yourself, who you are, what you do, and then you can pass out cards or you could collect cards. And one of the things I did mention last week was that it's more effective for you to take cards than to give out cards, because chances are that people that you give your card to have gotten cards from a lot of people, and by the time they get home, they don't remember who was who. So if you get the cards and then write a little note on the back about what the conversation was you had with that person, and you have a system of following up with that, it's a great way for you to reach out and say, hey, you know, I met you at this club meeting last week and we were having a conversation about such and such. Do you remember that? And you mentioned that you might be needing help with learning how to make gluten-free foods, that you had no clue how to do it, and you knew that you and your family just found out that you're allergic to gluten. And I'd love to help you with that. I'm doing a class next week, or I do private classes, or whatever you want your lead to be. It could be, I'd love to have a consultation with you, you know, no charge, my treat, my compliments, to see if how we could get you started and where you need to go with this. And that's a good way, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, about how to go from a free consultation like that into moving those people into whatever the program is that you have. The next thing is speaking at your own events, creating your own events, like doing little food preparation class or a gluten-free what's the story class or something along those lines where you invite the people you know. I mentioned that my very first class, which was about 5 years ago probably, was in my own home, and I invited my friends. And I had 8 people show up. It was a donation only, you know, put some money in the jar to cover the cost of my food. But that got me comfortable teaching and saying, well, I can do this and I can reach out. And then I started reaching out to more and more people, church groups, moms of kids on my kids' sports teams, that sort of thing. And eventually it grew into what it is today. And so speaking is a great way to do it. I've been invited to local moms groups and various things like that locally, and I love speaking at those. And it's a great way for people to get to know you, and they approach you and say, hey, you know, my daughter, blah, I'd love you to help, or I'm having this problem, I'd love you to help. Great way to do that. And the other thing is JV partners, and we're going to go a little bit more extensively on finding the right JV partners and how to approach them. But really, JV partners would be folks that have a similar audience to you, but approach that on a slightly different level. So, for example, if your focus is women in the menopausal years and you're looking at helping them to balance their hormones and eat a healthy diet, you might approach others like maybe a fitness trainer or people who do stress management that approach that same audience and see what you can do in terms of you speaking for their audience and them speaking for your audience. So there's no conflict, there's no competition. They're not also health and nutrition and wellness coaches that are reaching that same audience. They're doing it from a different angle, but their audience is very similar. Those are great alliances, extraordinary alliances. And then, of course, online. And through online, we're talking about blogs. Creating a blog of your own, even if it's just to go out to WordPress.com and start a hosted blog. Better than that would be to get your own website. I encouraged you to get your own name as a URL. Heard from Pamela today that she got not only her own name, but she got a couple of others that sounded really awesome. Forgive me, I don't have them at the tip of my tongue, but they sounded really, really wonderful. Something with family and something with body. And then Mary Wolf, the meeting and on a break, went and got a URL that she'd been thinking about. So the first step would be to go to GoDaddy.com, sign up for an account, and it costs you $7 to $10 for your first web URL, and at least you have it. Then you can, as we go along, figure out what you're going to do with it. But it's like, even if you're not going to use it right away, it's something that it's stating, okay, I'm doing this. I'm staking a claim. I'm creating this business for myself. So online, your own blog. I know Pam Dibron has been writing blog posts pretty much weekly on her blog, which is awesome. And you guys can share it with each other. You can actually help each other grow your traffic by going to each other's blogs and commenting. Every time Pam sent me a link to her blog, I went there, I read the article, and I commented on it. So that's a great thing to do as well. Other people's blogs, approaching other people who, again, have a similar audience and saying, hey, I'd love to write some articles for your blog. I would love you to approach me with that proposition, because for me, keeping up with writing 3 blog posts a week, which is what's recommended to keep your traffic up, I just don't always have the time. And I would love to have good blog contributions. When you contribute to somebody else's blog, you get to have a little short bio and a link to your own blog, or at least your email address or your phone number, so people can get in touch with you. So that's a great way to go. Other things online, there's always forums. One of the ways that you can actually start to drive traffic to your own blog is once you've set up your blog, you can go ahead and go out to forums and find conversations that are happening. And once those conversations are happening, you say, oh, I know a little bit about that. And you go in and you just join the conversations. You offer good value. You don't go in there like a lot of these spammers and they just find your blog and they write nonsense with their web URL. You give people good information and then you give people a way to contact you. And you do it in a really subtle, loving and giving way. And that helps you. I do that periodically on other blogs. I do that sometimes on Kevin Gianni's blog, and he's got a huge following. And oftentimes when I do that, I give so much value that then he quotes me in his next blog post because he really liked what I said and he wants to point people in that direction. So if you could give good value, then people are going to make note of that and they're going to stand up and notice you. So there's a number of other ways online, starting your own newsletter and sending it out to your friends, putting social media little icons in there so they can click and share it on social media. They could share it. You say, hey, if you like this article, please send it to 10 friends or 3 friends or some number of friends. And believe it or not, this helps to grow your list. 5 years ago, I had 600 people on my list. And the reason I had that many is that I had all the patients that I'd ever seen that I had emails for. Plus, I had people that were moms of kids on my son's baseball teams and soccer teams and various things like that, and people from a church group. And I just kept putting people's names on. Probably shouldn't have done that. I'm probably spamming them. And then we started doing the farmer's market and collecting names and adding them to the list. But that's, you know, it's grown from 600 5 years ago to 15,000 today. And it just is organic once you start putting a little bit of work in it. And then people start knowing who you are and what you do. So let's talk a little bit about joint venture opportunities. And I think these are really key, stellar opportunities. It's an area that I haven't done a lot with. I did when I first started out, I approached a couple of people and that really got me a lot of traction. I need to be doing more of that, as do you. So you look for other health coaches that have a similar audience but a different deliverable. Like I said, others like people who are fitness coaches. You might look at people who are doing stress management like heart math or yoga or meditation. People who are doing personal growth or massage therapists, or people who are doing very targeted nutritional approaches to a group where you see that there's more of a global approach that could be taken with that. You may look at medical doctors or naturopaths who will do a lot of the functional analysis but won't teach people about the nutrition or the herbs or the other pieces of it, the actual implementation. And you can approach them and say, hey, I can help your people and this is one way I can do it. When you approach joint venture partners, you can do so from the standpoint of offering to do a teleseminar for them. And we'll get to teaching you how to do teleseminars further along in these business modules. But you can say, hey, I'd love to, do your people listen to teleseminars? Could we do a teleseminar about 7 strategies for reducing your risk for cancer or something along the lines? Or if you find somebody who's group, his audience is a caregiver, like Pam was going towards, then you say, you know, I have a talk I'd love to give. It's called 7 Strategies to Protect Yourself While Giving the Best of Care to Your Loved One. And you approach them with that. For me, what I did was I approached, I think it was Kevin Gianni, and I said, hey, I see you have these people that you interview every couple of weeks. I'd love to speak to you. I probably should have been more specific. Here's a talk I could do. But I just said, I could talk about anything related to health, and here are my credentials. And his assistant contacted me back. It was like, oh, yeah, we have an opening in 10 months. Got on the calendar for 10 months later, got on there. I added 1,000 people to my list just by getting on there, really doing well. We just did a Q&A. Kevin really liked what I did, and so did his people. They signed up to be on a free thing that I offered. I offered, oh yeah, just go to my website, drritamarie.com/green, and get this free handout, this free booklet about greens and how to incorporate more greens in your diet. He liked what we did so much that he invited me to come back and do a little seminar series with him on women's health. And we did that, and then he promoted one of my books. So we had a really good back and forth relationship with him as a result of that, and still do. He'll periodically call, you know, send an email or have his assistant send an email and say, hey, what are you up to? What can we you know, how can we work together? And then I did the same thing with Tira Warner. And the interesting thing was she said, no, you know, we're working with this other doctor. And, you know, he's really going to be our expert of our go-to person for medical matters. And she called me back a few months later and said, this guy's a flake and he's flaking out on me. And, you know, do you think you can work with me on this particular project that she had been working on? And we've done a lot of stuff together. And she sends emails out, you know, or promotes various things for me. So those were a couple that I did. I think I did the same thing on the raw food side too with Frederick Patinot, and I ended up on a couple of his teleseminars. There's a lot more that I can be doing and that I'm not doing, and I need to reach out and do more. And you guys can do it too. So if you're doing a local practice, especially, you know, really looking at who are the more holistically minded NDs, DCs, DOs, and naturopaths, etc., who are holistically minded but may not get into the depth of implementation that you do, or who don't have the time to really spend with their people. Lindsay Berkson, she likes to work with MDs because the ones that are more holistically minded but don't really know how to do it, she can get in their office and she can work with their people. They could still do their allopathic stuff and she could do the more holistic and alternative stuff. So when you're going online to attract clients, we had the big Facebook thing. Join Facebook and Twitter, and there's another thing called Pinterest. But start with your own blog, and then you can put the little icons on your blog. They're very easy to do. There's little plugins that help you to do that. If you do it right on WordPress.com, where you do a hosted blog by them, then those are real easy to put in. But your own blog is an awesome way for you to become the authority in your field, you to become known as the expert in your field. And then, like I said, other people's blogs, forums. Article writing is another one. You write an article, and there's something called ezinearticles.com, ezinearticles.com. People go there looking for good articles to include in their newsletters. And the requirement is if they're going to include your article in the newsletter, they have to put your little bio and your link to whatever it is, your call to action. And what I mean by a call to action is when you write something at the end, you tell people what to do, basically. Go here, download this, right? Write a comment in the box below. You give them a call to action. And when you do these articles, you could submit them to ezinearticles.com. You just have to go in there, get an account, you submit an article, they approve it, it gets posted. And it's also a way to get more traffic, because if you have a particular topic that you use keywords for, and keywords are words that are within your writing, that are words that people are searching for in Google. And when you do that with the article writing and somebody does a search for a particular topic, your article can come up closer or on the front page, because ezinearticles.com is a very well-trafficked site. So it's not just like writing an article with good keywords on your own site, which doesn't have good ranking with Google until you've really worked at it. When you do articles and you submit them to more trafficked sites, it's a great way to go. And there's a number of things you can do with that. You can go to called Squidoo. You can start one of those. You can do Ezine Articles. There's a number of other databanks. There's Growth, selfgrowth.com, which is more holistic oriented kind of articles. I've submitted a few articles there. Again, you're not going to have time to do everything, so I just pick and choose. There's a whole lot more I can be doing, but even with just picking and choosing what I'm doing, it's getting me the traffic, and it's obviously getting people to me from all over the place. Putting videos up on YouTube and Vimeo and other video hosting sites is a great way to get traffic to you and get you known as an authority. Now, there's tricks to it, and you can study it. There's little courses you could take that tell you more about how to do it, how to get good traffic. But putting videos up, you can put a video up and get it to the first page of YouTube within days. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. I haven't done it yet. I learned about it at a seminar I was at a couple months ago. But if you put up a video and you call it the best whatever in your town, so the best health coach in Austin, Texas, the best raw foods chef in your town, and you make a little short video, a minute long, and you put your address, etc., you can get to the front page of Google within a couple of days. And I, like I said, I haven't tried it yet. I learned this at a seminar, but I saw people who did it on the first day of the seminar. By the last day of the seminar, it was up. Those are usually really short, really informal. You could do it on your iPhone. You can have somebody hold the camera up for you. And there's a specific formula for it, which I can dig out and get you guys who, if you're interested in doing that. The other thing you can do, if you don't want your face in front, you're nervous about people seeing you, you can do what's called a screenshot video. That's exactly what we're recording right now. Right now, as I'm speaking and I'm showing my slides, I'm using a software called Camtasia to record this. So all the materials that you get within my program are screenshot videos. They're not hard to make. They're not hard to make at all. And especially if you're doing a little 5-minute kind of a promo type thing, very easy, very quick, very easy to do. The more you do that, the more traffic you're going to drive to you. You do need to be knowing what are those keywords? What is it that you want to be known for? And there's a tool. If you Google Google AdWords tool. It's something like adwords.google.com/keyword-tool-external, along those lines. Just do a Google search. They change it periodically, so I don't have the exact address. When you go there, you can get a sense of how many people are looking for, a caregiver's coach. Well, that might be the keywords you're going to use when you find out that only 5 people are looking for that. But there may be other terms related to your niche, your ideal client, that you can type in, or a problem that you solve for people. And you look up those words and you alter the way you phrase things, and then you use those keywords whenever you're putting up an article, a blog post, a video, or any networking post. And that will start to drive traffic. I did an experiment with this when I first learned about this a few years back. And I started writing my articles on my blog related to adrenal fatigue and gluten-free. So I would have all these articles. And within, like, 2 or 3 weeks, I was on the front page of Google for, if you typed in adrenal fatigue, gluten-free. And, you know, maybe it wasn't a hugely sought after set of keywords, but there were enough people looking for that. But the way that you use keywords can help you to get known and seen. This may be a little bit over your head and beyond where you're at right now, but you can always come back to this and relearn it and take further courses when you're ready. Just want you to see what's available. You may be just ready to do the local stuff, going to networking meetings, talking to people, reaching out to people you know. That's fine. But it's a really good idea to know what's available to you and know that it's not that hard to do this stuff and start to get traffic. We started our first business seminar here was with ideal client and what's that statement that you have about yourself, about I help X, or we change that I empower women in their 50s to feel like they're in their 30s again, to overcome hormone imbalances so they can dance like they're in their 30s again. Okay, whatever that statement was, that's where you started with, that's your group, your target, who you want to attract. And it really does help to narrow it down. We know we can all help everyone. It's guaranteed. We can help just about everyone that is not beyond us in their knowledge and skill about coaching and about nutrition and health. But that's not going to attract people to us. When people hear that you help this certain group that they happen to be in, wow, they're going to be listening. And especially when you state their demographic with their problem and their desired result, then they're really all ears. So we started there, then we created packages where you can create your package. It's like, what is it? Is it teleseminars? Is it 2 coaching calls, 5 coaching call package? There's a number of ways. That was in the last module. Now we're going to say, okay, now that you've got that, you've got some people that are attracted to you, how do you end up enrolling them into your services? Whether it be a one-on-one consultation or a series of one-on-one consultations or a more elaborate series of services and offerings. So one way, and this is a common way that's put out in coaching circles, and a lot of people recommend it, is that you offer a free consultation or you offer a very reduced cost consultation. Your choice. You say, hey, you know, I'd love to have you come and see me. It'll cost, you know, $25 for us to have a conversation, and let me see where you're at and go from there and see how I can help you, what tips I can give you right away, and then what you're going to need moving forward. You can offer a reduced fee consultation. So again, so it's really attractive, easy for people to say yes. You can also offer a free consultation, but accept a down payment. And you could tell people, look, it'll cost you $25 to save this appointment on my calendar. If we decide to work together, I'll put that $25 towards whatever additional coaching you desire. And if we don't, then I'll just give it back to you. So that way they show up. One thing you don't want to do, and the problem I always have with offering a free consultation is they're not paying anything, they don't show up. You're out the time, they're not out anything. So they're not really committed. So you really discover who's really committed if you charge a little bit for that. And you know, as you're just getting started, you're like, you want to give everything away free, but really does help to charge them even something, even if you just charge them $10 to talk to them. The other thing you can do is offer consults as a bonus for other people's programs. So you approach somebody who has a big list and they're offering a big program and you think that your services would just go wonderfully for that. You could see that I did that in my programs. I offered a package in a couple of Lindsay Berkson's ebooks and Teresa Tapp's videos and some ebooks and stuff from Laura. Now, you could do that, and that's great. These people are people who are established, so I'm actually paying for those ebooks to include, or their particular contributions. I'm going to pay them for that to contribute to my program. But if you're not a known entity, you're not somebody who already has an established reputation, then you can approach people and say, look, you're offering this 6-week fitness program, and I would love to offer a nutrition consult to anybody that joins that. And in your handout at the back, I give you an example of someone who did that, who offered a nutrition consult as part of somebody's program, so you can look and see. The other way that you can do it is to offer a consult in somebody else's newsletter. And you'll see that in, I think it's page 8, where somebody has a newsletter and you're offering, say, a free or a very reduced fee consult. And you say, hey, you know, wouldn't it be great if you could offer this as a special offering for your people, you know, a half an hour nutrition consult. So that's another way to do it. You can offer consults via speaking engagements. So either during a class of yours, so you do a free class or a paid for class, and at the end you say, well, I have a limited number of consultations I'm offering. I can offer 5 consultations over the next month for people who are interested in really taking this to the next level and seeing what's holding you back nutritionally. Now, when you offer free consultations, you have to be really comfortable with your ability to enroll people from that conversation. So it's going to take some time, and it may be an investment of your time in speaking to people, but it's a really good experience. And I'm going to give you a formula, and I wish I had this formula back many years ago when I was doing this sort of thing, because this formula works really well. Really, really, really well. And then you can offer like your own, if you have your own newsletter, you could say, special this week, I'm offering 10 reduced fee private consultations. They're only going to be $10, the first 10 people, or you need to apply for it. And that way you can pick and choose who you take. Those are all ways that you can get people in front of you so that you can have what's called an enrollment conversation. And an enrollment conversation is where you share what you do. You find out what's up for this person. You find out what this person's most desiring. You find out what's most holding this person back. And then you make an offer to them to help them to get what they really want, to overcome their obstacles. Sometimes when you get to the end of one of these enrollment conversations, you figure that you either don't want to work with this person because they seem like a whiner and a complainer and they don't really want to solve the problem, or you feel like it's a bit over your head, or it's out of your area of passion and you don't really want to work with them, but you want to refer them to someone who you think would work well with them. And that's where really being in touch with each other can be helpful. Like somebody is really needing a focus on an area that you don't work well with, you have a friend or a colleague you can send them to. The very first thing you want to do is establish rapport with the person. If you've had them fill out a little brief summary questionnaire and you'll get a sense of who they are, it may be as simple as, you know, admiring a piece of jewelry that they have on, or admiring a clothing, or seeing, you know, something about them that makes you think that they're interested in a particular area, a particular subject, or just really just establishing, wow, I'm really glad to see you're here. I read from your consultation form that things are really tough for you right now, and I really acknowledge you for reaching out to get some help with that. So you establish rapport, you make that feel good kinds of conversation. And then explain how the call will go or how the conversation will go. And if it's a call versus a one-on-one consultation, face-to-face, you'll either way, it's a call or a conversation. But just like, so what I'd really love to do is really get a feel from you of what is it that you are most desiring? What is it that you really like dream of? What's that you really would love to step into if you didn't have these health challenges in the way? And then we're going to discuss what's getting in your way. And then we're going to discuss a few things based on what you tell me that I can see that would be helpful first steps for you. And then we'll explore how what your next steps after that will be and see if it's a match for us to work together to solve that. Is that okay? Sure, let's get started. Okay, so you explain how it's going to go. And then you ask questions to explore their desires and needs. Some people do this in the order of find out what's wrong first. And when I switch this around, when I was taught to first ask what they desire most and then what's getting in the way, it just started really, really resonating with people. What happens if you just start with, so tell me what's wrong. Tell me what the problem is. They delve and they get deeper and deeper into their misery. And they can go on and on and on and on and on with what's going on and what's wrong. And it's really hard once they've gotten deep like that to pull them back up into the possibility of what can be. Whereas if you start the conversation with, so tell me a little bit about, like, if I could wave my magic wand, remember I did that at the event last weekend, if I could wave my magic wand, what would your life be like? If I could wave my magic wand and all your joint pains would go away, or all your aches and pains and health challenges would go away instantly, what would you be doing with your life? And I have people going on about how they're going to be playing piano and how they're going to be jumping around with their grandchildren. And they get, you could hear in their voice, they're really high from it. And then you can bring them down. Okay, so given that that's going on, tell me what it's like right now. What's your life like right now? Well, you know, it's hard for me to get up out of bed and I have a headache and I'm no energy. And then as the day goes on, I start aching and paining. By the end of the day, I could barely make it through work. And I go home and I just crash on the couch. I don't have time to play with my kids. I don't have time. I can't make dinner. I'm too much in pain. So they go down into their despair. So then you say, so what do you think is keeping you there? What kind of things are holding you back? Have you identified any habits, any foods, any things that are keeping you down? Well, you know, I noticed that on the weekends I feel better, or when I get more sleep, I feel better. And what really holds me back is when I don't get to sleep, or when my dog cries all night, or whatever. So you kind of explore that and you say, you know, based on what you're telling me, and you ask them, then you can ask them some more specific questions about their habits, about what they eat, things like that. And you can start to say things like, well, you know, it sounds to me like this might be getting in your way. Have you ever tried a gluten-free diet? Have you tried this particular type of movement? Do you have a relaxation thing? And you give them a few tips. You say, well, you know, if we were working together, or when I work with people, we explore this really deeply, and, you know, I'll teach them this, I'll teach them that, I'll take them through this. And they're like, eyes are coming out of their head. And when I've done this in that way, people are, I don't even get to finish the whole conversation. They're going, well, I want to work with you. What does that mean? How can I do that?
So you want to get them to the point where they're seeing the possibility. They saw what they really wanted. They saw what's getting in the way. They saw how removing what's getting in the way can get them what they really want. And they want to know, how do they work with you? So establishing the gap. Establishing the gap between here and there. So where you want to be, where you want to be is having enough energy to run and to hike and to play. And where you are right now is you barely have the energy to get through the day. Or where you want to be is, you know, fitting into your size 6 clothes and looking really attractive when you get on stage to speak and having people really take you seriously. And where you are right now is you barely can get into your size 14s. You're feeling embarrassed when you get on stage because you think people may not take you seriously. And where you really want is to get rid of that extra weight. So you establish the gap based on where they are and where they want to be. And then you show them how your services can close that gap. And it sounds real simple. And with practice, it actually is fairly simple. I taught this process to Jan when she first started to work on my team, and she decided to try it. And first few times, she tried it with some people who got on the phone, and she just talked to them, and she signed them up for the Vital Community. You know, not a big thing, but she got them to wolf up $100 to join the Vital Community, or $120. That was awesome. As she practiced it, she got to the point where she would talk to people, and she started enrolling people in either a private consultation with me for a few hundred dollars or a program. She actually got somebody on the phone with somebody having this enrollment conversation, got them to pay right on the spot, a full price, $2,500, to get into Energy Recharge Program. She did the same thing with a couple of people for practitioner type stuff for the CAT program, etc. So getting people to really feel like, wow, this is what I need right now, and sign up for it and be really happy with that. So it just takes a little bit of practice, but when you come from your heart and you're really listening to what that person wants and needs, and you really believe that what you have can help them close that gap, it's really easy. You don't feel like you're salesy. You don't have the fear that you're being too salesy. You just do it. So you make an irresistible offer. So when they say, so how do we work together? You make an irresistible offer. You give them the program or the package that you offer gives them the results they desire, pure and simple. You know, we're going to set you up with this, and we're going to help you put together a meal plan that will satisfy you and nourish you and help you to reduce calories and therefore reduce your weight, have more energy, right? Get them the results they desire. You're going to show how your package will help them achieve that. So you tell them the things that are included. So if your package is a series of 5 consultations with you, and the first one is going to really look at their food and establish a food plan for them, and the next one is going to look at their fitness, and you're going to establish a really fun and easy to fit in fitness plan for them, et cetera, et cetera. You explain to them how the different pieces are going to help them to achieve. Maybe you have an ebook and you have a recipe guide included in your package. You tell them what those things are and how those things are going to help them. And then you really point out to them where they're going to stay without your help. If they're kind of, I'm not sure, is what you're doing right now working? How long have you had this problem? Is it something you want to continue to have? Or if they're hemming and hawing, you can say, well, I'm a little confused, right? At the beginning, you said you really, really want to have the energy to go hiking and to, you know, enjoy your family and to fit into those size 6 clothes. And you really, that's something you really wanted to do, yet you're not ready, it sounds like, to make a commitment to that. So is that really what you want? Do you want to stay where you're at, or do you really want to step into that? So you do this in a way that's loving, that doesn't feel manipulative, that doesn't feel salesy, and you offer them an excellent value. One of the ways to do that is to have some e-products. So you write a little recipe guide, or you write a little how-to guide, or some things that you can include that don't really cost you extra to include, but it's of great value to other people. So we'll include, say, a year's access to the Vital Community, which doesn't really cost us extra for extra people, a little bit in terms of administrative, but not a lot. Or I'll offer some ebooks, which isn't a lot of administrative cost other than the, you know, getting the links out to them. So it's very little extra on our part for some excellent tools and value. that they can get. And then bonuses, you know, having bonuses. The bonus might be you have a consultation and you have a bonus of a class that you're going to be doing and they're invited to, or you have a bonus of going into their home and doing a kitchen makeover. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things you can offer as bonuses, and you can offer as bonuses things from someone else. So say Ghislaine has made this really beautiful ebook that she offers on her website as a giveaway for certain things. You could say, well, I'm also going to include this wonderful raw food recipe book. And that's a win for you and it's a win for her, because they're going to say, ooh, I want to take more of these raw food classes. Now, if you're offering raw food classes and she's offering raw food classes, that may not be a good bonus. You'd want it to be something that's different. Say Mary writes a little packet on the role of foods in balancing neurotransmitters. That might be a nice thing for you to include if you're working with somebody who's depressed or who has some other neurotransmitter type imbalance. So the bonuses are nice. And approaching people. Nomi Shannon approaches me all the time for bonuses for her programs because she knows I create quality stuff. For me, it's a win because people in her program are now learning about me. So I'll give them a little bonus. Maybe it's something from one of my programs or maybe an ebook. Depends on what it is. And that happens all the time, that people cross-promote each other through bonuses. So you can include bonuses and be creative about what those should be. The other thing to think about is instant sign-up incentives. Well, the program generally costs $900, and what I'm offering is if you sign up right away and pay in full, you can do it for $700, and I'll include an extra 15-minute consultation. So instant sign-up incentives. So those are good. I don't always do those. Depends on the person. Sometimes I feel like it's a little bit too high pressure, and maybe I just haven't learned how to do that in a way that doesn't feel high pressure. But sometimes it's like, look, I just, you know, it's easier for me if you just sign up now and it'll save me a lot of time. Therefore, I'll give you an incentive. I don't do those a whole lot in one-on-one kind of consultations just because it just feels a little bit more pressure than I feel comfortable with, but you may feel totally fine with it. And I know lots of coaches who do really well with that. Here's the biggie, and this is huge: how to handle and transform objections. This is going to be the part that will take the longest and the most practice for you to deal with, because people will say, well, I can't afford it. My husband makes $1,000 a month. This program costs $200 a month. How can I possibly do that? I'm not working because of my illness and I just can't do it. So you'd be surprised at how many people use this objection even when they can't afford it. And you'd be surprised at how many people don't say this because they're so excited about what they're about to get that they come up with the money somehow, some way. They get credit cards, they put the money on credit cards because they believe with all their heart that they are ready for this transformation. So you can ask them, if they say, I can't afford it, if money weren't an issue, is this something that you would say yes to? If they say, well, of course, okay, then you can go on with something more, and I'll give you that in a second. But if they say, well, you know, maybe, then you know that it's more than money. The money is not just it. Something's not resonating for them. They don't believe that it's going to work for them, or there's some other objection. So you might ask that, you might just, you know, hit it face on. If they say, well, yeah, you say, well, do you believe that this could work for you? And you could ask them, what doubts do you have about whether or not it'll work for you? And really get that out in the open. How might your life shift dramatically if you learned a new way of being? So those are kinds of things that you can honestly and openly ask the person to really get at, is this right for them? You don't want to just be strong-arming people into working with you when it isn't the right thing, because you'll regret it down the road. They may say, I want to think about it. And you can say, well, that's a great idea. I have given you a lot to think about, and I want you to determine if this is really a good fit for you. So how about we check in on, and you give them a day. So say it's Tuesday, you can say, how about we check in on Thursday at 4 p.m.? I'll give you a ring, I'll give you a call, and then we can chat about any other questions that have come up and see what I can do to answer you. And then you can say something like, I'd like to email you something. And then you can email them a written description of the program where you really highlight the results that you're working on getting for them. And, you know, let's reconnect then. I'll send you something, you can read it over, and then let's get together. And so you really honor that I need to think about it. Sometimes they'll say something like, I have to talk it over with my partner. That's oftentimes a way of saying, I like you, you're really nice, and I don't want to have to say no. I want to be able to say, it was my partner's fault that he or she said, we can't afford this, or it's not a good idea. So you can ask, like, what do you think that he or she will say? And then depending on what they say, ask them, how do you think your partner will benefit if you have more energy and you're not laying on the couch every night, and if you're not whining and complaining about your pain? I wouldn't say it that way, but if you're not cranky and irritable because you're in pain. So you ask them, how will your partner benefit if they have more energy? If they learn to make really yummy foods that are nourishing and energizing, how would your partner benefit if now you have more time to have fun as a couple? So if that's the case, is your partner willing to support you in this? Some people say, well, you gave me some good things to do. I'm going to try that, you know, gluten-free stuff, or I'm going to try that drinking more water. I'm going to try that whatever you gave them. And I think I could just do it on my own. So you can say, well, has doing it on your own worked so far? Has it helped you to get what you want most? You told me at the beginning that you really wanted to have the energy to be able to go hiking on that hiking trip that your husband wants to do next summer. Is what you've been doing already going to get you there? Do you really believe that? So there you go. And they say, well, what's your plan for getting what you really want? And then if they say, well, I'm too busy, it's not the right time, you can say things like, you know, I understand it's hectic now, but when has your life not been hectic? How do you know, how will you know when your life is calm enough to be able to do it? And if not now, when? How much longer do you want to be able to delay feeling good, having time for those relationships? Every moment you lose is a moment you lost. So those are just some of the objections that come up. It gives you an idea of how to handle them. There may be others, but those are some of the things that can come up. At first, you're going to be really uncomfortable with that. And the more you do it and the more you really believe in your value of what you can offer this person, you're going to feel more and more comfortable. And when somebody says yes, then what do? You enroll them. You need to have a way to enroll them. If you're sitting across from them, maybe you have a little application that they fill out, or you accept a check. You say, well, we could, you know, put a deposit down, or are you going to have them pay the full thing, or how are you going to do it? So you enroll them. If it's online, oftentimes if you have a PayPal account, you can run a charge through a PayPal account. If you have a credit card account, you can run a charge through a charge card. You want to enroll them and have a way to enroll them. If they ask about payment plans, you want to be able to offer that. They say, you know, I really like this idea, but I just can't afford to pay you $1,000. Is there a way that I could do installments? You say, well, sure. You know, how about if we do, you know, say it's a 3-month program, how about if we do, like, you know, $350 a month? And they'll, you know, okay, I can handle that a little bit better. We're very flexible about payment plans. Some of you know that very well, that it's like, okay, you know, I really want you to do this. I know you really want to do this. Let's make it affordable for you. And you'll get a sense of when it's really worthwhile to do that with somebody, when you really get a sense of what that they are going to benefit from this. One of the things that I do before I celebrate is to give them something to do right away. So it could either be an assessment questionnaire, like, here's something, I'd love you to fill this out. If you're in person, say, you can hand them a questionnaire and say, this is going to give me the background that I need to for us to really get started. Why don't you fill this out and let's get you on the calendar? And you put their first date on the calendar. If you're doing it long distance, you can do very similarly. You could say, I'm going to email you this to get started. Maybe it's a little handout of things that they could get started doing, as well as a questionnaire that they could fill out. And then you send that to them and you schedule your first time to be together. Don't leave that open. And then celebrate. You did a good job. They're going to be reaching their goals and you're going to have a new client and you're going to help support yourself in doing what you love the most. And this whole thing about accepting money is really complicated and uncomfortable. It's still uncomfortable. It's like, oh, I just want to do this for people because I love doing it. But the truth of the matter is, you need to support yourself. And for me right now, in order for me to reach out and reach more people, I need to have team members and I need to pay them. So I can't give away my services. And they will respect your services and they'll respect your time more if they're paying for it. Even if at the beginning you're just paying them a small amount so you can practice. Then you deliver your program and you get results. And you know you're going to get results. You just have a sense of that, you know, I know that when I did these particular actions, I got results. You know that you've got the skills. You may be not at the point where you know you can get results with somebody who's coming in and they're bipolar and schizophrenic and they want help nutritionally. That might be over your head at this point. But you know that you can really easily help someone who's coming in and they're wondering why they have stomach problems and they're eating a standard American diet and they're stressing out and they're not exercising. And you know you can do that. They're eating at McDonald's 3 times a day. You know you can help them by getting some simple changes in place. And then you can ask them for a couple of things. When they're done, you don't ask them right away, you ask them for a testimonial. This is something I haven't done as well as I could. It's to say, well, you know, would you write that down or can I interview you so that I can share with other people so that if they're in a situation like you, they're feeling like, wow, there's hope for me. I can get this result. You can also ask for a referral. Like, do you have any friends or family members that you think might benefit from what we're doing together? And get some of those. So those are ways that you can grow and prosper in your business. There's an example of a letter that someone sent to their tribe, and this was offering a session with them. So this was a start the new year off right, stop struggling with food and enjoy your life again breakthrough session. And breakthrough session, by the way, is a nice thing to call these initial consultations. A discovery session, a breakthrough session, a strategy session. So come up with a nice name for it, and the name would reflect the result that you think you're going to get. And you may say, you know, because it's this time of year, because it's my birthday, I'm offering, you know, 5 of these. And then once you do, you practice and practice and practice this enrollment conversation. And the better you get at the enrollment conversation, the fuller your practice is going to be, and the more results you're going to have, the more happy people, the more you're going to change the world, and everybody benefits. On the very last page is where someone offered this consultation. Everybody that buys my ebook gets a consultation with this person who does home kitchen makeovers. So you can find somebody who has a book they're selling or a program that they're selling, and you can incorporate it. And you can see the language they used. I gave it to you as an example.